to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
If you can't handle my sparkle, I suggest you get sunglasses.
And Dale Hummel.
Success often stems from leaving no room for error.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yes, very hot.
Extremely hot. Well, Ryan, I have little for current events, but I did travel to Kansas. I did get Chase and Katie's furniture moved into their new college homes. On the way back, Katie and I were able to stop and sort of show down in South Central Iowa. I get out of the vehicle just to walk to the pavilion, and I'm drenched with sweat. That humidity was like I've never experienced before. The 104 degree dry heat doesn't seem as bad as some of that humid days that we seem to hit.
I think you people are sheltered in the I like, states. Y'all don't know what heat is, including Iowa.
The show barn this morning, the house, the windows are just dripping with water from the outside and the humidity. It's not good.
Sir, that's 7 months of the year in Texas. Oh, maybe eight.
I get to go to Texas quite a bit and I don't feel that. I just don't.
Oh, God.
I wish I could tell you that I did, but it does not happen. Mm-hmm. Whatever. What do you have? I saw there was a shooting in one of the Manhattan office buildings last night.
I have no current events. I spent a week in Mexico, a.k.a. Mercedes, for a junior national, and now I'm on the road.
That's not Mexico.
It is Mexico.
No, you can see the border wall, but it is not Mexico.
It is.
I enjoy that area. I get down there each year.
I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that my two little godchildren enjoyed it. I'm so happy for them. I am the most happy. I don't know about the adults on Team Addy and Choo Choo. We did not enjoy it. I'm just going to let you know. We did not have a good time, but it's for the children.
The taco trucks in every corner?
No, Dale. This is not some freaking authentic taco truck paradise. I did not see a taco truck.
Oh, you did not look very hard.
Dale, we went from the show to the hotel, from the show to the hotel, from the show to the hotel.
In 115 degree heat, right?
Let's not even talk about how hot it was in the Nats. But anyway, so I don't have any current events. All I know is Trump is... He was in Scotland, and he's like Elvis Presley or the Beatles, like all these people waiting for him, the airport. And then I think he's going to be in England, and he was doing an interview with the prime minister, and the prime minister just talked about how much he loved him. And Trump said that he wasn't, that because he really liked the guy before him. I can't think of his name right now, even though he said it. Anyway, because he was a conservative. But Trump said, I'm not going to say that this man is a liberal. He might be slightly liberal, but I like him and we work very well together.
I saw, I'm assuming AI generated, and I was unaware that Trump was in Scotland, but something about him cheating in golf where his caddy dropped the ball when he'd hit one out of bounds.
He did play golf, and like, I don't know, I saw several Twitters and stuff, and for somebody that's 80, he can just beat the hell out of a golf club. I'm just saying. But I don't know about the caddy thing or anything like that, but I think he's in England now. And this is, I guess no president's had two state visits to England because Trump said that, of course, it's because his presidency was interrupted by whatever that thing was in between them. But which... Speaking, like, I don't know specifics, but I do know that Tulsi Gabbard and all these other people have released a lot of information, and it does not look good for Barry Obama or the Clintons.
I would agree with that. I don't think they're going to be foolish enough to release information if there wasn't quite a bit there that they can hang on them.
They've released a lot.
I unfortunately, like Hillary destroying her, any evidence that may have been on an email, on any hard drive anywhere, and other issues such as that, nothing ever seems to be charged. Nobody seems to be charged. Nothing develops other than the accusations. And I think they even prove some of the accusations, and there's still nothing that happens. So I am hopeful that they uncover information that did happen, if such. And I don't know how they can't, I don't know how some form of punishment can't be attached to it, but my prediction is it won't be.
I don't know.
State fairs are upon us up in the north. Everybody's scrambling from Iowa to Ohio, just finishing up. Indiana's coming up, Illinois. It's a hectic time right now, and I hope everybody takes a deep breath and does the best they can to be competitive and enjoy the week. Those are hard to do, both those things, Ryan.
Hard to do what?
To be competitive and enjoy your time.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I think some people do better than us, maybe.
I do not. I do not do well.
But I'm doing better. I'm going to.
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not good at it. Not good at it at all.
That is all that I have current events, unless you have something else.
As far as I'm
guessing the world's burning down and we're unaware.
I'm sure it is, but like I said, I've been a little busy, but and you're the one that keeps bitching about how we need to do a Bee on the Circus, and yet you know no current events. So don't yell at me anymore, sir. I don't want to hear nothing.
I've had
and you won't know any current events till after the state fair's over. So that's like 2 months. I don't want to hear anything out of you.
We're just going to cancel the current events section for a week or two. Be okay.
I know I'm not saying that, but I don't want to hear anything about a Bee on the Circus out of you when you know nothing.
I do have a sponsor for our main topic. Merck Animal Health. Anyone in our industry knows that effectively managing your time and hitting breeding windows are crucial to success. SenseHub cow-calf from Merck Animal Health gives you the ability to improve both. With 24/7 monitoring, SenseHub cow-calf helps save time spent on visual checks and delivers data you can use to detect heats and make informed decisions on reproduction timing for AI and embryo transfer. This changes everything. Learn more at sensehub-cowcalf.com. Thank you, Merck Animal Health, for your continued support of this podcast. It's hot. We know it's hot. And I can assure you, if your animals are not drinking, they're not going to get along. ShowFresh H2O is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O now at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to swampfox.com. And the main topic that Ryan came up with all on his own by himself, spent hours and hours to get to, is
that
to...
That is not true. Now to, you're just exaggerating because you feel bad.
To be determined. And when he first said it, I thought, well, we're just going to wing it because that means to be determined, the topic. But that is not it. Please explain.
To be determined is at every show, depending on where you are, but most shows, they just go straight into the grand drive. But still, if you're the very first class or whatever, this can kind of apply to you. But to be determined basically for me means is like when they're selecting the grand champion and maybe the show gets done at 2 and we're not going to do it till 8 o'clock that night because we want, you know, the crowds to fill in, or you showed on day one of a 3-day show and the grand champion is Friday. I don't think people realize how important it is in being in this situation as a judge many, 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 many times. If your animal doesn't come back looking as good or better than the first time you saw it, you're sunk. That's the nicest word I can use. I would use a harsher one, but this is a kid's friendly program.
And we've seen this many times. And I think on occasion we see it the other way. Some even come back looking better.
That's the goal. But you need to come back looking better, but not many people get that.
So I'm gonna take us on the sidetrack just a little bit here, right in the beginning. Sometimes no matter what we do with those animals in terms of hydration, and obviously we're going to do everything we can to get them to look better than they did even in class or division. But often, and I can use the state fairs coming up right now, the show rings that they're showing in may be different than where they come back for the grand champion. For example, at Illinois State Fair, we show in our own individual barns, and then we go to the Coliseum for the grand drive. And this is a topic that we will talk about later, and I think I was triggered by a question and answer that we have this
week. Always triggered.
The ring size, the lighting, the bedding that's being used on the surface of that ring is all going to impact what that animal looks like. And oftentimes, it is much different from where you showed earlier that day until that evening. And some of those things, how those animals look, obviously in that situation are not in our control, but some forethought can be placed upon it. I can think of a lot of situations where, let's use cattle as an example, you're in deep shavings in your normal show ring and maybe a little more forgiving on pasterns, maybe need a little more elevated animal up off the ground so you don't look quite as compact if you're sinking down into shavings a little bit. And then you go to something like a hard pack dirt surface or limestone or something like that for the Coliseum. And I promise that look changes. Whether it's the judge looking at it, the people from the outside, all the above, but obviously the important one is the judge. And I can think of different surfaces truly impacting how that animal comes back and looks. We can't control a lot of how that's going to work through our hydration and things like that. But there's factors that come into play that, wow, let's take advantage of it. If we didn't have time to have that thing 100% when it was in its class or division drive and we have that downtime, let's make sure we get there, because there's factors that come into play. And I don't know how often, Ryan, and every show is going to be different. Often for me, I find one that hits me in a class that, wow, this one's likely going to go all the way to the champion drive and win that thing. But I promise you, there are many times that judges walk into that final grand drive or Coliseum, whatever you want to talk about it, and there's been some downtime between the two, even if there isn't, and they're definitely not locked into one animal. They're going to change if it presents itself.
Well, I think that whether it's a county fair or, you know, you're talking about state fairs or Texas major shows, national shows, I think that there are fewer times that a judge is, you know what, it is absolutely going to be this way. This one's going to be grand, and this one's going to be reserve, and this one's going to be third, and whatever. I think that happens some, but it's very, very few. I think the majority of the time, they have a group or a handful of animals in their mind and say, you know what, these are the ones that I like the best. And then they come back out there and, you know, it's kind of all up for grabs. But that's why I wanted to do this topic. I don't think people realize how important it is. The decisions are being made then. And what your animal looks like then is in that moment way more important than what it looked like when it got there. Because if you come back to the grand drive and you give that judge a disappointing feeling, or you, that judge says, you know what, I think that one looked better earlier, it's done. You're over. You're gone. See ya. See ya. Sayonara. Bye-bye. You're deported. Whatever you want to say.
And I think there's a lot to that. And we do talk about those first impressions lasting, and I think they do to a certain degree. But sometimes when we get that strong of a first impression when they come into that class, our expectations become pretty high, and we expect them to come back and look that good or better. And if they don't, you're right, Ryan. There's a disappointment there. And then all of a sudden,
I think it all goes back to the first impression, but that sticks with you and all this other stuff. And so, if you don't live up to the hype of the first impression, then that's what I'm saying. You're toast.
Agreed. Agreed. So the difficulty, and we talked about the downtime, and there's lots of situations that this exact topic applies to. And we have some shows, and I believe it's the Indiana State Fair that I witnessed this. I'm sure there's a lot of them that do it. Just using them as an example. So from the time we come out of class into that division drive, if they're divisions, which most of them have, from our division drive, obviously to the grand drive, all these things are going to vary. And I feel, Ryan, and this isn't necessarily, you don't have a lot of time to get things done, but those kids that, let's say, come in into the third class of the day and there's going to be a division after the three classes, they walk in, show that animal. Let's say they win their class, they go right back out and they come right back in immediately again for that division drive. I feel that there's not enough time to kind of freshen those up or to give them a breather, the child or the animal, either one, when the shows will take and run class number four prior to the lightweight division drive. There's only three classes per division, let's say. That gives them a little bit of downtime and maybe evens that playing field a little bit prior to the division drive. Depending on if we've got a tired hog, we got a calf that's hot, whatever it may be, there's a lot of situations that just giving that exhibitor and that animal a chance to freshen up and think and get themselves ready to come back in for that division drive, I think is important. We don't often talk about that. And Ryan, I'm going to say most of the shows don't run that next division class prior to the drive. Would that be accurate?
The only one that I know that does that is, I guess, Indiana does it.
I believe they do it for sure in their cattle. I think they do it on the goat show as well.
They did it on the steer show the year that I did, but I don't remember any other show doing it that way.
I think for our general,
I was very weirded out as a judge. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I think the audience is sometimes a little confused. There's downside to it, but I know that's been talked about a little bit more, and I understand the concept of giving those animals and that kid just a break. Especially think about, let's say you're in that last class of the heaviest division and you just win your class, come right back in for division drive, and then boom, you come right back in for that grand drive. That animal's out there for a while, and it's definitely not to that one's advantage compared to some of those that were freshened up or had some downtime to do that. And it's a challenge. It's always on our mind when we come out of whatever division it is, at whatever show it is. The question is, okay, we're coming back out of our class two or the lightweight division or whatever it may be. And we know we have an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours until we finally get to the grand drive. If it's not a set time, just at the end of the show. And that question is, do we keep this animal up the entire time? Do we try to break him down quick, let them lay down, refit? Those are real battles that you have to decide on. And I think more times than not, if we have time to break them down, let them rest and refit, we're better off. But sometimes you just don't have that kind of time, and you're kind of caught in between. There is no good answer. And that's a struggle.
I think we're getting a little off topic here, because now you're talking about divisions and stuff like that. And that was not this what this was.
Just the time frame between.
I will say, on what you bring up here, talking about let one rest and refit, or if there's enough time and all this other stuff, I think if you know or you have a clue that you're going to be, you know, one of those people that's in that area, if you're the last breed or the last division and they go straight into the grand drive, you're not going to have time to refit. But like if you're a couple of breeds before the grand drive or division three or whatever, and you're in that gray area where you can break them down and let them rest, or maybe you can't, I think the most important decision on making that is knowing your animal. Is the animal going to be able to hold it together for that length of time, or is it absolutely vital that one lay down and get rest? And I think in those, that little window right there where people do face that, I think that is knowing your animal and knowing their endurance is the most important part.
And it's interesting, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about even these pigs that are glued and painted, they're even making those decisions now, where in the past we'd let them go back, lay down in the pen, we can wash them off, brush them, oil them up, whatever we need to do fairly quick. But now it's pretty much across species that we're making these decisions. So Ryan, what do you prefer? Do you prefer a set time at night to do that grand drive, let's say at a county fair or even a state fair?
Well, it depends on if I'm the judge or I'm showing. So it probably varies. I love a night event. Everybody knows this. Like I love the drama of it. I love the, you know, everybody getting there and everybody watching. And like you're talking about Indiana, they do these fireworks and all this stuff. So I do love a night event, primarily because I get to get a costume change in. So if I'm the judge, I love it. So
you're breaking down and refitting.
Yes. Yourself. Yes, myself, definitely.
New makeup, new clothes, new
everything. All of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love a night event as the
judge. How long will that take?
That is none of your business.
I'm just curious.
That is none of your business.
It's ours, isn't it? Ours.
I love a night event if I'm a judge. Now, if I'm showing, I don't maybe like it as much because... like I said, it's no matter who your crew is, who your animal is, all this stuff, getting that animal back a second time around, it's challenging. And
it's just hard. It really is hard.
It's just very challenging. But I'm going to say at most of these state fairs, all the Texas majors, OIE, most national shows, etc. That's a part of the game. So you figure into it. I mean, I haven't been to Kansas City recently, but don't they do all the grand drives at one time, different time?
They do.
Yep, that's what I thought. And I know Arizona National has their Supreme Drive all at one time. Denver does all of their events at night, which, I mean, be different this year, but last year it was in the Coliseum on the green carpet, etc. And so I think probably Louisville is the only national major show that they go through their classes or divisions and then they pick champions. So this happens at most of the bigger shows.
I think the goat, obviously the goats are done. There's a little bit of variation in species, even like at San Antonio. I believe we run the goats right after the show, but for the most part, those set times. And Ryan, I'm with you. I like the hype. I like the fact that if you have a set time, grandparents, livestock enthusiasts, all of those type of people know, okay, you're going to get a bigger turnout, I guess is the best way to put it, and a bigger crowd, just like the Iowa showdowns when all the people from the different counties know that, well, the show is going to start exactly then, you're basically right into the grand drive, people show up and it's good. So I like that. I don't know from an exhibitor standpoint. There's sometimes I want some of that downtime to refresh, and other times I'd rather let's just keep rolling right now. Let's get this done. The animal looks the part. I want to keep going. And even at the county fair level, I believe those that have that set time to do all species in the evening, the turnout's always going to be better. And I think that's a big deal for the kids.
No, like I said, I think if you're a spectator or, you know, even an exhibitor getting to do one of those grand drive experiences, regardless of how fancy or elaborate it is, it's very cool. And you want every kid to, you know, when I was doing that show and that pig show in New Mexico, they go all out, that summertime showdown or whatever, and the lights, the smoke, the whatever. And it's what I said. I said, as a judge, you wish that every single kid could participate in something just like this. And so even if it's not as elaborate as that, but being one of those that gets introduced and their bio read and 500 people there, all this other stuff, you want a kid to get to do that. I think, you know, if you are a parent, a broker, a breeder, a fitter, whatever, and you're putting that animal together, it makes it extremely more difficult and stressful for you. And I also think a lot of times, and we don't talk about this, and this will be an unpopular opinion, but a lot of times the showman gets way too stressed out and nervous in those situations and folds, breaks, etc.
Agreed. Just thinking about that and what, regardless of the species, if we know what that set time is for that grand drive and it's several hours post show, I think knowing that you have to have them ready at an exact time rather than trying to predict when you're going to hit that champion drive after the show, there's some benefit in that side. I know it's a refit, it's all more work, all of those things, but I do like that. The only issue that I have, and I'm going to pick on Illinois State Fair a little bit here,
Of course she will, since she's seen a show at it next week.
When you go, and there's not, I shouldn't say I'm going to pick on them. I'm using them as an example. There's not a solution. I don't have a solution, so I can't throw a lot of darts at it. If you're going to be, let's say you advertise to the public that 6 p.m. is going to be the grand drive or 7 p.m., whatever time it is. Well, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, we've got to be ready to hit the ring there. We probably better obviously allow time to get from wherever barn you're fitting to the Coliseum at Illinois. They like to load you all on trailers and haul you over there and bring you off the trailers into a little holding area, then into the Coliseum. The difficulty is it's normally hot. On the trailers, it's going to be a little hot, a little crowded, all of the above, the holding area. We oftentimes, if we're going to start at 6 p.m., and depending on what species you are, if you're the first one in or the last one in, you may be in route, fitted in route to the Coliseum up to 2 hours before you hit the Coliseum floor itself. And that's not ideal. I'm not when I say picking on Illinois, I don't have necessarily a solution for it, especially if the Coliseum's in a different area on the fairgrounds and maybe not close to some of the barns. But those that have the luxury that the barn is next to the Coliseum, they can just walk those animals over. It's much better. But as Ryan's talking about that downtime, wow, you have to put some thought into, well, let's make sure we've got fans over in that holding area when we come off the trailer that are already set up and ready to go to keep those animals cool. Those that put more thought and preparation into everything that's going to happen, trying to work out the best way to keep those animals cool, to keep them feeling good in that time window from the time we start fitting on them until they actually hit the Coliseum can be, I mean, in a situation like that, Ryan, that's a long time. And it's hard to keep animals up and looking 12 o'clock perfect for that long. Good luck. Do everything you can, but it's hard.
And I think that's the deal. That's the reason for this topic. If you think that you might be in that position, and you never know until you get to win your division or whatever, you know, it is. But if you think that you might be in that position, I'm not telling you to try to jinx yourself or put the cart before the horse or all this other stuff. But you need to have gone through the thought process. Okay, if we do win Division III, if we do win Champion Key, whatever, and getting ready for Grand Drive, and have the things there that you need, and have the thought process already lined out in your head and ready to go. Because, like Dale just said so well, the people that do everything they can to keep that animal together, to make that animal look better back there, who have done the forethought, who have done the planning, who have, you know, got it together to give that animal every single chance possible to look its best through that time. Whether it's, I always say when they do these grand drives, the lucky ones are the species that goes first. You know, they get up there at the same time and they get to go first and done. But whoever does the most homework and forethought and it has the set of goods and tools available to keep that one together, that's going to pay off a lot of times. Because I'm going to say again, very few times in a judge's mind is it all completely cut and dried. I mean, I'm not going to tell, and I'm the most decisive person in the world. So for me, probably more than most people, but I've never gone into a grand drive situation of any kind where, unless it was like a jackpot show or a county fair where there was a grand in reserve and obvious. I mean, very few times have I gone into those situations where, you know what, grand's going to be this one, reserve's going to be this one, third, fourth, and fifth is going to be this one. Maybe I knew the grand, maybe I knew the reserve, but 3, 4, and 5, there was a handful. Just very few times is it, no matter what they looked like when they came out back out there, it was already over. And like I said, I'm pretty hard to sway and I'm pretty decisive. So
I think you can even, and agreed completely on that one, very, very unusual. You're going to have your top five all the way through your head. What about, Ryan, taking, knowing that there's going to be downtime, knowing that it's hard to manage, all of those things, to try to encourage people to put more thought into it or forethought and give themselves a better, put themselves in a better position. Look at it, and I don't do this, but do as I say, not as I feel and do and stress out sometimes. Think about it and say, wow, we've got 2 hours basically from the time we're moving that direction before we actually hit the Coliseum floor. Well, so does everybody else. If we're better prepared and we have ways to keep that animal more comfortable, whether it's heat or whatever it may be, in that downtime, we have our supplies, we have our fitting crew ready to make sure that while we're gonna maybe finish that final fit and freshen them up right before they hit the ring. If you can manage those 2 hours better than the competition, obviously this becomes an advantage for you. Nobody ever thinks about it, think, oh, this is gonna be hard. But those that do it better all of a sudden rise to the top.
Managing whether it's 2 hours or 12 hours or 3 days, that is it. And it's never I guess the people that get in these situations that we're talking about, you're talking about managing, you're talking about having everything there and all this other stuff. The people that get in those situations and take the most advantage of that time in every single way, those are the people who are going to have the edge when they come in to the grand drive. And you talk about hydration all the time. I can't explain to people the number of times that I have judged a show, and even just a regular show. Maybe you won the first breed, and I really liked that Burke, because we all know I'm a fan of Burks. You come back in the grand drive, whether it is right after the show is over or the next day or that night, and the Burke isn't as full as what he was. That's an issue. And so there's all these different avenues, hydration, feel, make sure that their hairs looks the same, all this other fitting. And one little tip that I'm going to tell people, if you are fitting this animal, whether we fit them all now, I think, and we're worried about how long it takes and keeping them together, especially at these state fairs where it's hot. The one thing that I don't think people take enough advantage of, and I am a person that does this, so I can say that I do take advantage of it. In the grand drive, if the grand drive's a different time, there's a whole lot fewer animals in the grand drive than there was during the whole show. So there's a lot of people that are very talented at what they do that may not have one in the grand drive. And I am sitting there watching the show and utilizing my time, as Dale is saying, and going, you know what? Homeboy and homeboy and homeboy don't have one in the grand drive, and they do a great job. I'm going to see if I can get them to come help on ours. So now we have extra hands, and it will go quicker.
Great plan. Great plan. And you mentioned, I think what we're getting back to or continue to push on, everything that we can do, leaving no room for error, get them fit as quick as we can, less time standing in the chute, less time standing, period. Bring in the best if they're not already on a different one. All of those things mm-hmm. are going to have an impact in the final decision. And Ryan brought up whether it's 2 hours or a day or 2 days. We have shows, and I think the Texas Majors would be an example when they're
sometimes it's a week, people. Yeah. Like 5 full days.
I mean, I think all of a sudden then you're going back to that prep in terms of how you're feeding, how you're drenching, how you're hydrating, all of those things. You're almost doing a reset, and let's let them come back a little bit more towards normal and build back up. But everybody has different philosophies on that, and it's interesting to me. And I am huge on the hydration side, because I promise you, it cracks me up. Kate and I were visiting here recently, and all the supplements that are given 10 minutes before that hog goes in the ring because it's going to clean up their jowl or give them a bigger back or whatever it is, in that amount of time, there's very little that's going to be done. If there's some products that maybe have some value that you're feeding 24, 48, a week out, whatever it may be, but those last minute little things, we oftentimes are seeing absolutely no benefit from. But if we understand how animals hydrate in that specific individual, I can think back to when we had hogs really wrung out, really ultra, ultra lean. I mean, no body fat. And we would try to hydrate those while still keeping the bellies pulled up and out of them. And there, it was a challenge. But you'd have them so dehydrated that any amount of fluids that you would give would hydrate directly to that muscle, and you'd see such a huge response. Some would claim that if we allow those animals to dehydrate a day or so prior to show day, when we come back with hydration, they'll actually, Mother Nature says, let's hold on to more of that water. Let's hold that water. The best place to hold it's in the muscle, allowing that muscle to swell just a little bit. And again, it's Mother Nature's way of survival that, wow, I didn't get a lot of fluids for 2 days. Whatever I get now, I'm going to keep a hold of. And some will estimate we can get up to 10 to 15% more muscle volume by dehydrating hard prior to show day and building back up. So there's so many philosophies out there. And I do not know what the best one is for any of the species, let alone all of them. But it takes more thought and more effort on that side from managing than anyone can ever believe. I know that I used to talk with other families and other show enthusiasts that oftentimes, whether it was pigs, lambs, it didn't matter what it was, we would be at the shows, get done showing, let's say late in the afternoon, evening, haul home, put the animals in the barn, give them a pretty good feed and water, and guess what they look like the next morning, Ryan? Sometimes better, at least in my mind, better than maybe what they looked like at the show, because maybe we were doing too much micromanaging.
I talked about this with you and Kate, and y'all told me it wasn't a topic, and I still disagree, but I can't, there is a large percentage, I would say actually more percentage, over 50% of the time, that when I judge a county fair and they have the regular show on the first day and then they have showmanship the next day. And I'm not saying all counties do this, but there are some. Mm-hmm. I asked you and Kate, why in the hell do the majority of the animals look better on showmanship day than they do the actual day? Y'all told me I was nuts. So don't talk about that, Dale, because y'all told me I was crazy and that wasn't a topic.
And we have the same thing. And I know a lot of state fairs don't do this, but in Illinois, we generally have our junior market show day one day. Most of them are on Friday, and then an open show day on Saturday and Sunday. And the same thing, the open show doesn't get as much hype. People aren't battling and managing quite as much for it. And
so you're telling me I was a leftover when I judged the open show.
You were a leftover.
Wasn't important. Okay.
Correct. What I'm getting at, and that was not it, but if you want to throw it in, that's fine. That oftentimes you've busted your butt for so long, and I don't think we should do this, but maybe it works to our advantage, that you just get done with junior show day, you throw some feed and water in front of them and leave them alone. All of a sudden, they've got real food, a more normal diet in them, just plain old water with show fresh H2O in it, of course, to make sure they're drinking it. They hydrate and reset and look wow. So maybe you got to see the steers looking better. Let's look at it that way, Ryan.
I was impressed. I just didn't know that I was a nobody husband that type, but it's fine.
And I don't know how many people are going to agree with how they look that next morning. And I don't know that I see it as much now, maybe as I, it depends kind of where the trends are and where we're trying to have fill and all of those things. When we're filling them up like we are in hogs right now, I don't foresee there being that much of a change because we've already pushed as much fluid and feed and everything into them as we possibly can. But there's something to that. It's just, I wish I had a roadmap for each species to say, okay, if you've got a down day before that champion drive, here's what I would recommend. Even if I had that, I don't think you could apply it to every individual animal because each animal is going to have a different type of feed intake. They're going to respond differently from one animal to the other, even within species. So everybody thinks, well, there's this magic feed supplement or this magic drench that's going to work on my animal just because it did on another one. It doesn't work that way. No, it just doesn't.
That's a whole different mountain, but I can't tell you enough how I truly believe that when it comes to drenching and all this other stuff and all the different things that we put in it, how it reacts in one animal, or I can just give you my experience from steers primarily. How one drench and one set of ingredients acts in one steer may be completely different how it acts in another. And so figuring that out before you get to the Houston Stock Show or whatever major show is pretty important. And so practice at home. But one thing about, we're talking about this to be determined that we haven't said, and I want to get it out there because you have to know the rule, because a lot of times there are different rules. For instance, I'm just using Texas majors. San Antonio, like I said, that, you know, sometimes there's a week in between, depending on the species, and it's all different. So you have to know, but that's what I'm saying. You have to know your rules. Like San Antonio steer grand drive, they're going to weigh you back and you're going to have to hit the weigh back parameters that they have. Houston steer show, there is no weigh back before the grand drive.
That is game changing between the two, right? And how you're going to manage.
Think about if you're showing an Angus heifer, you can't use paint in most of the Angus shows, right, Dale?
Correct. Not
in the grand drive.
In any of them, you're not supposed to.
Right. In the grand drive, that's not true. You can. So think about how much better that Angus is going to look once she's fully painted in a grand drive.
Agreed. There are, and you are the rule reading person of all. But take advantage of those. If there's not a way back at Houston, and somehow, and I can't imagine this would happen, that you've got a steer in that grand drive and you still thought you had to adhere to that weight that you turned in, you are at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
You need to know those rules. You need to know them well.
Well, I'm just going to use the year that I won Houston as an example. I had a really, really large animal. And back then, there were die hard limits on if you weighed over this, you weren't winning the show. It's just
not, and you're not talking about way back. You're just talking about weights that
turn in weight. At. Yeah. You weren't winning the show. And so we wanted to make sure that we showed on day one and showed early, because we knew if we won our breed on day one, that calf would come back looking like a completely, entirely different animal 4 days later. And he did.
And out of curiosity, to maybe aid you a little bit, what was that number at that time so I can get an idea?
1250.
Okay. I was hoping for your sake, you're going to say like 1300, but 1250 was a very long time ago.
Really,
very long time ago.
Not really, but...
And what is I'm not saying there isn't a hard number now. There's far fewer people adhering to a hard number.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm using that as an example.
But when you say it was a hard number, I want to back Ryan up here. I mean, you could have a great one come in if it was 1250 at that time and you were 1260, 70, even though you were the best one.
And
you
might
not have
won it.
Yeah, you may not have won it.
No, you weren't. You weren't.
I don't think we could say all of the time, but most of the time.
I'm going to tell you 98% of the time.
And in that situation, I'm just going to guess, Ryan, that if you had a big animal that you were trying to hit that particular window, that calf came back a lot closer to 1350 in the grand drive or more.
Over 1400.
Yeah. I mean, that, think about 150 pounds. That's transforming.
Yeah, no,
game it was changing in that
it, like I said, and not trying to brag or whatever. If we got through breed, there was going to be a 99.99999% chance we were winning the show, because we knew that would look like completely and totally different animal 3 days later. And so I just think you need to know your rules, like I said. Touching on the Angus with paint, the first year Congress had the Supreme American Drive, we win the Beefmasters. You can't glue legs in a Beefmaster show, but in the Grand Drive you can, and so we did.
So just thinking about that, so when we talk about the Grand Drive, the associations are looking at that as not an Angus show or not a Beefmaster show or not whatever.
They have no authority, no, it's up the show. I mean, we went and asked, and they said, hey, it's whatever you want to do. But
yeah, they're not going to let one breed fit and not the other. So yeah,
right. It's wide. So yeah, I mean, it is no longer in the hands of the American Angus Association.
I'm not saying that they wouldn't like to have their hands in the breed.
No, but I'm just... But I'm talking about if you don't know these things, then you can't take advantage of it. And so that that's what I'm telling you, whether it's weight or whether it's fitting rules or, you know, all of this stuff, you've got to know that there may be a different set of rules for that grand drive. Always ask, always check. And if there are, you better take and use those to your advantage.
And surprisingly, Ryan, the one rule that I don't, and you're going to say, well, I just don't read the book, that we're constantly asking, whether it's right away after the show, the grand drive, or later, or whenever it may be, we will ask almost every time that superintendent or that show manager, are we weighing back for the grand drive? And a lot of times they're not sure. They will either have to go look at the book or they have a little consultation with somebody else, but that's not as cut and dry as what you would think it would be.
No, and I would...
I'm not saying you shouldn't weigh back or should. I don't care what it is. You just need to know.
No, you need to know. But I'm telling you, if you get in these situations, don't just take what I'm saying at face value and go do it. I'm telling you, read the rules, go ask the people. But if there isn't a way back, if there aren't fitting rules, all the stuff, it could be vastly different. And you can use those different rules to your advantage in the grand drive to make your animal come back even more impressive than before. And when you do that, I'm telling you as a judge, if you lock one and then they come back in the grand drive and they look even better than they did before, that impression really, really sticks with you. And so that's what I'm saying. Know your rules, know your thing. Do, like Dale said, take time, use every person that doesn't have one in the grand drive to help you get that one fit and ready in less time. There's a million different ways that you can help yourself in these situations. And this is why I thought this should be a topic.
I like it. And there is, I guess to me, the moral, the story is you have to be prepared ahead of time. I'm not saying be arrogant, saying that I'm going to be in that grand drive, but
no. But if you go through the process in your head, at least have the stuff there. And I'm telling you, like, Callie is the most superstitious person in the history of the world. And when I'm sitting there watching a show and we've won a couple of divisions or whatever, or all this other stuff, I was like, hey, we need to start looking for sticks because we've got a couple more left and I think it's going to go well, whatever. That's not me bragging or putting the chickens before they hatch or anything like that. But if you wait till the bitter end, you're not going to be nearly as prepared. I'm not telling you to go around and tell everybody at the show, hey, when my steer gets in the grand drive, I'm going to do this, this, and this. All right. Have the thought process, have the items available there. Know your rules. I don't think there's any problem going to, if you're at the Illinois State Fair, Larry Wilson or whatever, and saying, hey, if I win this and we're going back for Land of Lincoln, yada, is this, are we weighing back? Are we doing that? Go and prior to, make sure you have all the stuff in line. And like I said, if you're watching the show and you've already got one in it and you see that this very talented guy or gal, theirs didn't make it to the grand drive, I would be the first one to go over there and say, hey, if you don't have one, make it in the grand drive, mine did, and I want you on mine. I mean, even before you know it, whether they've got one out there or not. I've done that at many a shows. Hey, if you don't have one, we already won this. I need you on mine in the grand drive if you don't have one back out there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because if you don't speak up, somebody else will.
It may be a little uncomfortable or awkward when that exhibitor has not shown yet.
But it is not for me.
But Ryan is correct. Somebody's going to do it.
And I'm not saying do it in front of the kid, but I'm telling you, grab that person the first and be like, hey, if you ain't got one, I want you on mine. It's not uncomfortable for me at all. At all.
Well, this is good. And I think that this is a dilemma that people oftentimes, and I'd like to tell you that we're always more prepared and we've thought about it, but from show to show, and maybe it's a show we haven't been to, that amount of time, whether it's immediately after the last division that they select the champion, there's probably not as much managing unless you were in a earlier division. Maybe it's a set time that evening. Maybe it's the next day. Maybe it's 3 days away. But you have to understand it thoroughly, exactly when you have to be ready, when they're going to haul you over to the Coliseum, if that comes into play. Your entire hydration program and feeding program is, if it's a long period, is going to change. There's so much that goes into that. Don't bust your butt. And I can tell you up here, just because we're all the Midwest is going into state fairs right now, there the time and commitment that you're putting into getting into that ring for the first time, don't let up that day or those few hours or whatever it is before you go to the final drive. You don't assume you can coast into it. Keep pushing as hard or harder and outworking, outthinking your competition, that you have a plan. You're going to have a fan set up here. You're going to have extra people helping you. You've got somebody lined up to show if you've got more than one in there. Leave no room for error. Don't slow down there. Just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was good, Ryan. Excellent topic. Excellent.
Yeah, since you shook me off.
So I have a question that's 3 pages long for a question and answer. But before
I do that,
I would love to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. You've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Be Gone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assist with county fair premium auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They love it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on all purchases. The first question, how about I paraphrase our 3-page question?
I'm not doing a 3-page question. I don't do a 3-paragraph question.
I think it's good, is why I left it in there. Jason submits this, and it appears though Jason judges maybe was raised on a dairy farm, but has had a lot of formal training judging dairy cattle, and somewhere in there also judging dairy goats. And he's oftentimes asked, he feels very proficient at judging the dairy cows and the dairy goats, is asked to come judge a county fair goat show. And he gets there and he's judging the dairy goats. And then all of a sudden, once the dairy goats are over, they bring the meat goats in, which they didn't really mention that he was going to be judging those. And he said in the past, if there's only a handful and you've got one good one, the rest are terrible, he could get through it and didn't feel like he was doing a disservice necessarily to those exhibitors. But as the meat goat competition continued to become more competitive, he does not feel comfortable doing that. And still many, many of the county fairs that he goes to will ask him to do such versus bringing the lamb judge over or something to that extent. So under this,
county fairs are cheap.
Yes. He brought out, and this was long and it was good though, that the county fair can't maybe afford to bring a meat goat judge in and a dairy goat judge in and all of those things. He wants to know, and I know where Ryan's answer can be, where as an adult, if he's going to be put in the situation, can he go to learn how to judge meat goats?
As an adult?
I mean, he's not participating in the 4-H.
Yeah, I know. Dear Lord, I don't know if there is a place to go to
Ryan,
learn. What?
They do have the ABGA certification clinic.
Oh, okay. We'll go with that.
We did talk about that, and we have to scratch our heads sometimes, but they do have those.
There's not really a place to do it. I think I appreciate this person wanting to do this. I think the best thing you can do is just go to shows and watch and learn, and maybe ask somebody, ask questions, but going and watching and learning and listening, that's probably going to be the best thing that you do. I'll be honest with this guy though, and as many county fairs that I've done, I've tried to be put in this situation before. I am very, when any county fair contacts me, I say, I need to know exactly what you want me to judge because of situations just like this. And where he's a dairy person, I am not. I have no problem evaluating dairy market steers because in the end, they're a market steer. I would not judge a dairy heifer show. It has happened to me, before, just probably like this guy, but only a handful of times. And I have no expertise in it. I have no knowledge in it. So I am doing a disservice to them. So I will say, I don't do dairy. And then they'll say, well, what about dairy market steers? That, yeah, it's a market steer in the end. I can do that for you. But no, I can't. I'll never forget a county fair during Rona. I was there judging multiple days. Their Nigerian dwarf pygmy goat judge, whatever, canceled on them. And they said, if you don't judge it, we're not going to have a show. And I said, I know nothing about this. Absolutely nothing. And so I got on the mic at the very beginning. I said, this is the situation. I don't know anything about it. They're telling me that if I don't do it, y'all aren't going to have a show. I don't want the children to not be able to get the show, whatever. And some lady comes up and cusses me out at the end of it. And I probably deserved it. But like I said, for him, if he's not comfortable with it, I would tell him beforehand. And that may cost you the show, but I think that's the ethical thing to do. Wanting to learn and wanting to, so you can handle these situations more, is extremely admirable. And I appreciate that. The best thing I know to tell you is find somebody that judges a lot of market goat shows, talk to them, or go and watch and listen to the judge. I don't know if there's a good answer for that, because I just don't know if you don't have any training, formal training in it, how comfortable you're ever going to be. I'm not sure.
No, but I think that's good. And Jason, excellent, excellent question. And I understand you get put in those positions. Ryan had brought up the pygmy goat and Nigerians. I think I told the story. One of my very first shows I judged in college, I was judging all species. And at the very end, here are all these, there were hundreds, I swear, of pygmy goats that came in. And it was a train wreck, a complete and total train wreck.
Do you use the biggest
ones? I did. I talked a little bit about performance. A little
stressed. I wasn't that.
No, I've matured past that at this point. But I didn't even know what a pygmy goat was at that
time. I still don't. And like when that lady was cussing me, I was like, ma'am, you're probably dead on and deserve this to whatever. Like, I don't claim to know anything about this. Like, don't. No. So
Jason, good question. I think at the level, at the county fair level where that meat goat show, maybe there's only a handful of animals. I think by going and watching another judge or visiting with somebody that's judging meat goats probably gets you through that. The more competitive ones, it's just going to be hard without you engrossing yourself into that industry. So I appreciate what you're doing. And I think it'll work well for those smaller shows. And I think that's primarily what you're talking about. And Ryan and I mentioned the ABGA certification. That's more on the full blood side, so that's not going to help you on the market goats.
It's not going to help.
But on if they have you judging breeding goats as well, then there might be some value in going through something like that.
I don't think so.
These things happen all the time, and it's not just with market goats. I guess Jason would be like Ryan had talked about. He doesn't feel comfortable judging dairy cattle heifers.
And like people think that I'm slighting the dairy cows. I'm not. It's not that at all. I just don't have any knowledge, any expertise, didn't grow up doing it, anything like that. I don't ever want to be that person that does a disservice to exhibitors because I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know what's important to them. I don't know what the priorities should be.
And it's just hard.
That showing dairy cattle is just as difficult as showing anything, but. And that's more the reason why I don't want to be put in that position, because you deserve someone in that judging position that knows.
No, that makes sense. I can use myself as an example. I was on a national collegiate champion dairy judging team. I coached dairy judging teams.
Learn something every day.
I shouldn't say coach dairy team. I was the person that drove our team at Joliet Junior College to Madison to their national contest. Fortunately, I had very good dairy kids that somewhat coached themselves into winning one of those competitions. But I, even with some experience, I would not feel remotely comfortable or capable of sorting even a handful of them, probably. So good question, Randy. The next one comes from Rick. Thank you for busting down many boundaries and giving valued information to the stock show industry, stock show world. That would all be me. My question is, what do you prefer for ring betting, this is one I talked about earlier, when evaluating goats, lambs, cattle, and hogs. This could almost be a whole episode, but it's right here.
It's simple. Pelleted shavings, period.
Yeah. I agree. That when we say pelleted shavings, they wet them down, and it forms a great surface.
I also, and then my second favorite is turf. As long as the turf doesn't like slip and slide and all of the, I think that's a problem. But if it's, you know, actual turf that's going to stay there, whatever, because I like to see the feats. And also this, I'm just going to be real honest. Normally, whether it's pelleted shavings or turf, it's more level. There's no holes, there's no anything, so it makes a level surface for everything. And whether it's me judging or someone else judging, if it's one of those two surfaces, I know damn good and well, if I'm standing on the outside, that person in the ring can see the feet.
Yeah.
And so there's no excuse for them to not like talk about structure, at least if something is bad in those areas. You know, if it's sand or deep shavings, always in the back of your mind, well, maybe they didn't see it. If it's pelleted shavings or turf, they damn well saw it.
No, but I would agree. A huge fan of the pelleted shavings. That hog show in Virginia that we went to sort here a week or so ago, the hogs were on turf. And I don't know, I'm sure I've judged them on turf before, but they did it so well. They had that turf secure, Ryan, where it wasn't slipping around. It was clean. I really appreciated that. The problem, and I do judge some lamb and goat shows on turf as well. Sometimes on the brace, especially on the goats, if we're driving a little bit harder, we don't get the traction we need. But those things impact the end result of every show. No question. So, and I don't...
That's why I said pelleted shavings first, because I don't think there are a few issues with turf, but I would prefer turf, even with the minor issues, to deep-ass sand or dusty-ass sawdust or bark or gravel or...
How many times, Ryan, you think about that hard-packed dirt or that limestone arena, whatever the bedding or flooring is, and you're out in a class judging, and you've got a pretty good one, but that kid found a hole, and that thing is running downhill because of it. It has an impact. We can look through it. We can move them. But it's huge to get that. So maybe instead of just the bedding, we also incorporate. We've got to try to make this as level as we possibly can. In an ideal world. But excellent question, Rick. Jessica has the next question. I love the podcast and have been able to watch both of you judge in person. I wanted to ask for your autograph, but was too nervous to ask. Ryan, why do you intimidate people like that? Why?
I wish I intimidated more people. Okay. I don't do nearly a good enough job at it because I get asked for pictures and autographs. I must not intimidate anybody. I think she's talking about you.
Okay. I watched both of you sign banners. However, I was not showing at either show, so I had no banners. Are you guys okay when people not showing ask you to sign something? I would love to have your autographs, but did not want to bother you. So
I don't ask anybody if they're people walk up and ask me to sign stuff or whatever. I just do it and like say, well, what's your name? Oh, well, nice to meet you, Ken. Here you go. And then so I never know if they're showing or whatever. So no, it does not bother me. But
so Jessica, it's not an issue. And don't worry about whether it's a banner or a hat or whatever it is. Does not matter.
Do not ask me to sign your boobs again, please. I've asked that twice. I don't like it. I do not like it at all.
I encourage people to do that.
No, do not. It makes me very uncomfortable. I do not like it.
Nice. Very, very nice. Yeah. So Jessica, always be happy. Thank you for coming to watch, even though you were not participating. With that said, Ryan, thank you for your to-be-determined topic. This one is real. I wish we had a roadmap and protocol for every species and for how many hours out you're at and all that. But maybe the important thing is we don't leave room for error and we realize it's an art. Every animal's going to be a little bit different and everybody's going to take a little different approach. With that said, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?